Heavenly Father, help us to see, help us to understand, and help us to realize all that you have done in Jesus and who he is. And we pray this in his great name. Amen. Well, I don't know if you've noticed, but kids tend to get very excited when it comes to birthdays. Mine certainly do. And I must be starting to get a little bit old because I'm starting to get nostalgic about my own kids' birthdays, but there you go. My mind tends to wander back to their birth. Maybe it's just because we've had our fifth this year. I've been present for all of them. But Florence, when she was born 3 months ago, as she was born, I still find it a very surreal experience. Watching it happen and then holding them is absolutely amazing. There's nothing quite like it. Because there before my eyes was a new life, a new person in the world, living, breathing baby with our family. And for the last 2,000 years or so, people all over the world have been celebrating an event unlike anything the world has witnessed before. When in a small country town of no great renown, God chose to step into the world that he had made, and he was born as one of us. Because if you're like me, and you think the birth of a child is amazing, then the birth we come to celebrate today is mind-blowingly amazing. Because what we celebrate isn't the birth of some good bloke that lived 2,000 years ago who proved to be a good healer, or the birth of a great teacher, or even the birth of a great leader of people. But what we celebrate is God becoming flesh. We celebrate God coming to us as one of us. Now, you might have realized that as the Bible was read this morning, John's version of the Christmas story is probably not the one you're coming expecting to hear this morning. You see, we didn't hear anything about stables or donkeys or even a star. Nor was there any mention of angels or wise men or shepherds. And even Mary and Joseph don't get a start. Because for John, to truly understand the significance of Christmas, he wants us to take us back even further in time than a birth in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, because the story begins even further back than that. In fact, he wants to take us back to the very beginning to impact us about how amazing Christmas is. See how John started, if you've got your Bibles open there? He started his account of Jesus living amongst us when he said those first three words, in the beginning. Now, I tested this out about a month ago at home. I said to my family, finish this sentence for me, in the beginning. And all three of the older girls instantly replied, God created the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1:1. And with just those three words, in the beginning, John wants our minds to instantly go to the first words in the Bible, back to the creation of our universe. Because John says Jesus was there even before the beginning. Actually, John doesn't even mention Jesus' name yet, but rather he curiously uses the title Word. The first verse there says, in the beginning was the Word. And while it can seem a puzzling way to talk about Jesus, it can actually be a helpful way for us to understand the significance of Jesus and Christmas. You see, Christmas celebrates God coming among us to be born of one of us. And the idea of describing Jesus as the Word is that Jesus is God revealed to us. Think about it for a moment. I want you to have a look around in this church building. I'm sure there is going to be a person or two that you don't know. I want you to look at that person, or if that's a little bit creepy, just have that person in mind. And I want you to think, what can you tell me about that person that you don't know? I'm sure you can make some guesses by the way they dress, perhaps even by who they sat next to. You might even think about what their body language says about them as a person. But even if we sat here for the whole day, for the rest of the day, you won't really get to know that person and what they are truly like until they start using words and speaking to you. And it's only as Jesus, the Word, comes that we can truly know God. Jesus is the Word through whom we really know God. Jesus is the Word through whom we hear God speak to us. Jesus is God, becoming one of us to speak to us. He is God revealed to us. Have a look at those first three verses there in John's Gospel. He said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made." Now, Tim Chester makes a comment in his Advent devotional that we can think our own words are powerful. I know I fall into that trap. I go along to youth group and things get a little bit rowdy and I quieten them down with my words. And when I think that that group includes Riley or Ben, I think that that is quite an accomplishment with just my words. But Jesus is the Word of God, through whom God made the whole universe. And we're reminded with the echoes of the Genesis creation account that God spoke creation into being. It's recorded us for in that first Bible reading. He said, "Let there be light," simply spoke, and it was. And that pattern is repeated 8 times. God simply speaks, and some part of the world is created. And as powerful as I think my words can be, I haven't even made a paper aeroplane with them, let alone a living object like a plant, to say nothing about creating a light like a sun or a moon or the stars in the sky. Through the Word, Jesus, we find here all things were made. That's power. Galaxies came into being. Complex structures like your own bodies, all made by Jesus, just as the Father had planned and commanded. It's no wonder then that when Jesus, after being born in a stable, grows up as a man, that when he speaks, incurable diseases are cured. Raging storms are calmed in an instant. Evil spirits are banished, and even the dead are raised simply by his words. Jesus, the Word, when he speaks, is powerful over all creation. And with it, we catch a tiny glimpse of what the world will be like when he returns, when there will be no more pain or suffering, no more sickness or disease or death. It makes sense because John is saying here that this is the Creator who walked in his creation. And that is the wonder of Christmas. God coming amongst us. God actually becoming one of us. But John just doesn't stop there. He continues in verse 4. He says, in Jesus was life. You see, as John writes down his account of Jesus' life for us in those next pages, he doesn't simply want to tell us about the things that Jesus has done while he lived on earth, but he wants us to know that there is life in him for us. Have a look at verses 4 and 5 with me if you've got your Bibles open. John writes, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. I've been riding my bike a fair bit of late this year, and usually when I go with my friends, I set my alarm for 4:45 a.m. and that is often quite dark in winter. Actually, it's still dark now. Even this last week, once my alarm went off, I got up a few days ago and I try to get out of the house without turning the lights on so I will not wake up my family. But the other day, I kicked the toy that plays music that was on the floor. I ran into a stool that I almost knocked over onto the slate floor. I knocked a drink bottle over on the table before bumping into the door on the way out. I crashed and banged my way through the dark of my own house that I think I know so well. I've even been known to put on my cycling clothing inside out in the dark, only for the light to reveal my mistake. The first act of creation recorded in Genesis 1:3 was for Jesus to make light. And as he comes into his creation as a human, it's like a light has been turned on. Understanding comes. We can see God in human form and fully know what he is like. We can see him clearly, and we aren't left fumbling around in the dark about God anymore. And even when it looks like the darkness of rebellious and wicked people seemed to be overpowering Jesus as he was marched off to die on a cross, John reminds us light always wins with darkness. I don't know if you've ever been in complete darkness. When I lived in Gunnedah, they'd often do sort of trips down the mine to show the local people the mines, and they had a nice little habit of taking you down there and turning all the lights off, and so that even when you put your hand up to your nose, it was that dark you could not see it. But if a light was turned on, it wins. It changes everything, because you can't add more darkness to dispel the light. The light cannot be overcome. And so it was at Christmas. Light entered our world, and even at the darkness of the cross, as Jesus willingly bore the punishment for our rebellion against God, Jesus won out. When he rose to life on the dawn of the third day, Jesus overcame sin, the devil, and even death. So that with Jesus' death for our rebellion and sins and his resurrection, he brings life to mankind. And when we trust in Jesus, we are called out of darkness to live in the light, to live in relationship with God and walking in his ways. With Jesus, verse 9 there, we're told the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. You see, Jesus was not only revealing God to us, but he was providing a way home to heaven through himself for sinful people who didn't deserve it or couldn't do it themselves. The way home to eternal life with God is Jesus himself. And that is why Christmas is so amazing. And that is why Jesus had to become flesh. Sometimes I think it's good to strip bare the Christmas story like John does and focus on Jesus without all the nativity busyness and be amazed and celebrate Christmas for what it is, God coming amongst us. God coming among us to rescue us and provide a way home to heaven. So I wonder if without the holidays, without the presents, without the food and family and good times, I wonder if we would still be amazed at Christmas, amazed at what God has done for us in sending his son Jesus to fully reveal himself and to offer us life through Jesus. Jesus, the Word. Words are powerful and revealing, but I think actions are truly telling, don't you? You see, in Jesus, we see God powerfully at work. His miracles showed us who he was, and his willingness to suffer on the cross for us. In that action, we can be certain of his love for us. I wonder as you head out today for the weeks and months ahead what you will say about Jesus. But even more tellingly, I wonder what our actions will show about what we think about him. They will truly reveal whether we believe Jesus is the Son of God come among us, and whether we believe there is eternal life in him. John wants us to be caught up in the wonder of Christmas, but he also wants us to worship Jesus, to believe and follow him with our whole lives, that we might have life in him. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we know that you have showed your love among us by sending your own Son Jesus into the world that we might have life through him. Be with us and grant that we would know and trust and worship the one who is the Word, the true light, the Saviour, your Son, our Lord. And we pray this in his mighty name. Amen.